website.
You're listening to the Vancouver Mixtape on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, campus community radio from Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on the unceded territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, Stolo, Catesy, and other Coast Salish peoples. My name is Jesse.
I'm Jamie.
And with us today, we have Abesh from Rooms and all sorts of other musical projects. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome to the show, Abesh.
Thanks for having me.
Very excited to have you here. We are going to talk about the new record, Don't Be Yourself, which came out in December, almost a month ago. Just over a month ago. And all sorts of other things. We're going to talk about the band, some of the members who are not here. We're going to talk about all sorts of stuff, but we're also going to listen to some music. So, Besh, which is the first track you would like to introduce our listeners to from Don't Be Yourself?
Oh, from Don't Be Yourself.
Yeah, let's just...
let's take a look here.
Let's look at the set list together.
Yeah, how about... I guess we could do Don't Be Yourself. How about...
Cool. So, the title track from the record, Don't Be Yourself, that's as good a place to start as any.
Why not?
Here it is on the Vancouver Mixtape.
Our hangouts are so heavy, I always feel so low, walking away closed, ready, no. Job interview goes well. Things will work out, I can tell. Just go in there and be yourself. Very good, you put in the work, giving yourself a hard time. Things are so
Don't Be Yourself, the title track from the new record by Rooms, and we have Besh in studio here on the Vancouver Mixtape to talk with us about the new record. Welcome again.
Thanks.
I think Jamie as well have been following your music in one form or another for a long time. We were talking on the way in about the Greenbelt Collective, which I think is probably my first... The oldest of your projects that I'm familiar with. Things have changed so much since then in so many ways, obviously, including this project Rooms going from sort of that aside project there to your current musical endeavor.
I mean, the Greenbelt was maybe my first band ever outside of like high school music, so... It was a really... I mean, I was like at a really funny age where you're just so inspired by everything. And, anyway, yeah. I don't know what else to say. We were talking about all the LPs getting thrown in the dumpster like a year ago or something. So, yeah. I'm not always prepared to talk about the Greenbelt, but I have been thinking about it a lot more recently because of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to say that I have 18 copies. At my home, just sitting there.
I mean, it's good that you have at least one, right?
I'm so happy to have at least one, and I'm excited to have 18, and yeah.
Well, it's definitely a significant moment, at least from our perspective, That group is significant for the development of this show. But it is really cool to see, like, how that's evolved into the projects that came from. Are you able to map yourself as a musician, like, that pathway from Greenbelt to where you are now? Like, is there a logical through line for you there?
You mean, like, I could maybe see my songwriting developing?
Yeah.
Or just being brave enough to... Because, I mean, we were kind of talking before about I Make Earthquakes, which was always my, you know, little songs that I'd write on the side, which is what turned into Rooms. So maybe even then I wasn't really brave enough to play those songs or, you know, I don't know. I haven't really thought about it, but probably be better to draw it.
where's the piece
I'm kind of born into, like, yeah,
clock. What, like, what would you, what I guess, made... Like, you mentioned, you know, the confidence to kind of, like, take those songs and make them into rooms. What was kind of, like, the turning point where you're just like, oh, like, I like these enough to make this into something else?
I think at some point I had enough songs. And actually, it was with my sisters. We were all living in this house together. And we decided to make a rockier version of I Make Earthquakes. And then we thought, well, we're going to call it, we'll call it Rooms. But I think I decided after we did that for a little bit that I wanted to try to release music, because I Make Earthquakes I didn't put anything out under that. Like, I didn't make anything material to give away or whatever. So that's probably the first thing, was just putting all the songs up there and then deciding. So yeah, the first two albums were really just all the songs that I'd written over the years compiled into two albums, re-recorded, and yeah.
Did you still get, like, that nerves of putting that up for everyone? Like,
yeah, and I think at the time it felt like a very completed project, because it was just this huge amount. It kind of feels like when you write, you can't keep writing until you do something with what you have, in a weird way. So it was a huge moment for me, I guess, just to be able to move on from that mountain of songs.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like you don't want to move on and do anything new until that's sort of sorted and out of the way.
Yeah, and then I guess I just waited a long time and then ended up writing more songs. And I didn't think I would put out an album again after those two, but then, I mean, this happened.
There you go.
I went through some hard things and some complicated things, and I always say that I write because it helps me get through things, and... I would say that this is a collection of those moments. And, yeah.
A tale as old as time. Write what you know about.
Yeah.
How did you go from this being, you know, sort of, as you were saying, like, songs you're writing on the side, to, like, how did you put together Rooms as, like, a band instead of a side project? Like, how did you become a group of people who play songs together?
Well, I mean, I think almost all of the people in Rooms are from the Greenbelt, first of all. The Greenbelt kind of dissolved in 2010 to 2012, on and off, kind of restarted, and then I think we had our last tour in 2010. So it's the same folks I've always been playing music with, and... we had started playing I Make Earthquake shows. We played a lot of I Make Earthquake shows. And then, I don't know. I guess it's just what it is now. It's just evolved to this after 15 years or however many years it's been. Yeah.
Cool. Well, why don't we hop to another song? Is there an artist you want to play next that maybe you can tell us a little bit about before
I wish I had that list. We can play one of my sister Katie's songs.
Sure.
Maybe Yours Truly is a nice song.
Sure.
Let's actually love this song.
Do that. Another title track. So we're two for two
there
on
we
title
go.
Tracks. This is by Kathleen Lockhart from, as we said, the record Yours Truly. Yours Truly.
We're up here on this mountaintop. We're out there by the shore. We're set free in the city lights. We play among the storm. Wild and unruly. Love from yours truly. Have a dance for the ones you miss.
head and go with it. By the time he would notice, they would clip your wings. On command, they would demand from you everything. Never had a plan, never had a plan, had a plan for me. Desert sun, we ride among the waves. We're set free in the wilderness, playing day to day. Wild and unruly, love from yours truly. Have a dance for ones you miss. Go ahead and go with it. It's always dark. Too much of the rainbow will eventually break your heart. Every color movement thrown from the lights. When you follow maps to know where the future looks so bright. By the time you would notice, they will clip your wings. On command, they will demand from you everything. Never had a plan, never had a plan, had a plan for me. Never had a plan, never had a plan, had a plan for me. Never had a plan, never had a plan, had a plan for me. Never had a plan, never had a plan, had a plan for me.
Yours Truly by Kathleen Lockhart, formerly known as Katie and the Lycan, here on the Vancouver Mixtape, where we're talking with Besh from Rooms, and that's your sister.
Yeah, that's one of my sisters.
Mm-hmm. And family seems to be, I mean, just looking at the people you've made music with, it seems like that must have been a big thing for you.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I don't know a lot of folks that have adult siblings in their life interested in the same things as them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the things that's unique about us. We're all into music. We all like the same aesthetic. We're all, you know, so in those ways, it's kind of lucky, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always like the greatest because it can also create tensions. But
yeah.
I think that overall, I'm just really grateful.
And sorry,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, what does that dynamic look like when you're because like you can, it's always different writing or like doing a creative project with friends than, versus family. But I don't know, are you able to get through that unscathed for the most part?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I feel like people define themselves based on who they're around, and you find, you know, things about yourself that are different from them, or I don't know, like maybe we've spent our whole lives defining ourselves by trying to be different than them or something. I don't really know. It's kind of a weird thing, but yeah, I mean, they're both so talented and awesome, and yeah
it's something. I mean, I can't say that, you know, like my sister and I both like reading or whatever, but it's not necessarily like, it's not that same sort of like active interest where we're both sort of trying to create similar things, I guess, or collaborating to create something. So that's
I feel like everything kind of overlaps in that way. Like, I love Nikki's bass playing. That's my other sister, Nicole.
Yeah.
And I always know that her bass part will be the one that I am going to cherish the most, or it's going to make me feel like it's hitting that the way I want it to. So yeah, I don't know. My sister Katie made these lemon, ginger, turmeric ice cubes that have been in my freezer. They're out, Katie, by the way, if you're listening. But anyway, yeah, so yeah, everything's overlapping.
Cool. Jamie, you wanted to maybe ask about creative process.
Yeah, I'm always so interested with how different artists like write differently. And there is a really clearly defined aesthetic with your music. There's a, like, it's a really intimate setting, especially on this record. Is that something you sought out, or is that just how it kind of came together with the recording and writing process? Is just what felt the most, I guess, appropriate with the types of song you're writing?
Yeah, I mean, I think the songs just kind of happened the way they happened. Let me just take a look here at the list. Yeah, I mean, again, everything's so self-referential and experiential. Like, it's just all based on experience. So, like, I look at You'll Be at Home, and I just think about the months I was dreading going back to work after my maternity leave, because I just, like, didn't know what that was going to look like. And you're so anxious, and you're so, you know, like, there's like, things that I couldn't really, like, get over that were kind of choking me up that I was able to get over, I feel like, from, like, playing that song, writing that song, working it out, playing it over and over again. Yep. I don't even need to hear it now, and I feel so much better, but, like, how else would I have gone back to work? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's a real sort of therapeutic tone to a lot of the songs where, yeah, it's clear that you're, like, you're writing this song maybe as an exercise or a way to work through something or to think out a problem or to even just, like, sing about it for a little bit, because putting it out there and speaking it can often help, maybe not solve it, but help weather it, if nothing else.
Yeah, I feel like You'll Be at Home, for example, I couldn't even sing it without crying the first, like, 15 times. I mean, there's a lot of songs on there that I can hardly sing without crying. So some of them are still so recent. But, yeah, it can be really intense. Because it's hard for me when I'm playing live. I try not to picture what the song's about, because I'll just go there and I'll just break apart.
Yeah.
So.
Now, when these kind of things, when things that inspire your songs happen, do you, like, this feels kind of silly to ask it like this, but, like, do you automatically be like, oh yeah, this will be a song at one point? Or do you just, like, are you writing songs and you're like, I'm going to write about this once you've started the process of writing songs? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. I feel like, I mean, the second batch of songs that kind of made me realize, oh, I got to do another album. Yeah, they're all so recent still. And I feel like I just went to the guitar like I needed to, like, habitually.
Right.
Because even if I was just playing, like, I think most of the songs are, like, G and E, so I probably just strum the same chords I always strum, and then, yeah, it's kind of funny.
I mean, if they work, they work, right?
They work, and, you know, I've been, I got to play in my partner Enzio's band last weekend, and I know his chords now, which, nice. I just think is, like, so lovely to associate, like, a clump of chords with a certain person in their songs. Ooh. Because people don't really stray that far.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
You find that, like, home base, and you just, like, can't.
It's like a thumbprint.
Live there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's lovely. Like, all of Enzio's F sharps and C sharps are, like, anyway.
Well, and I mean, like, that's something you can hear in, like, even, like, I'm as his partner, I'm sure you have a much more, like intimate and detailed knowledge of what those sounds and those chords are, but I mean, we've been listening to his work since Half Chinese, right? And
yeah.
So you can, in listening to the Leon Patriz stuff, like, there's a through line, right? Like, you can hear it's the work of the same person,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
On that note, should we play some of
his
music?
Something of Enzio's.
Cool.
Awesome.
We have stuff from his record Gravity Season or Virtual Reality, or we can go back to that Half Chinese. I've got all of them ready to go.
Yeah, I'm just looking here. Yeah, why don't we play Carry On? Is that on there?
I believe so. Just a sec.
No, maybe didn't make it. Unless it's we scroll down. Okay, we could try Eclipses is nice.
Eclipses on Virtual
Reality. I'm
just
looking at the list, yeah.
Yeah, no problem.
Cool. This is Eclipses by Leon Patriz from Eclipses. Eclipses by Leon Patriz from the record Virtual Reality, as we're here talking to a bandmate of Enzio, who is the alter ego of Leon Patriz, Besh, who is here to talk about Rooms and all sorts of other music. Yeah, I was wondering, there are three I think videos out with the new album.
Oh yeah.
What was it like to put? Were you involved in shooting those videos? You're in them.
Did most of the shooting.
Yeah.
We were just having fun.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to make videos out of our concepts with our limited skills. But yeah. I mean, we're getting better every time. So.
Well, and it's pretty great to be able to just like go do that.
Yeah,
right?
It is.
I guess it's not that new a thing to be able to shoot your own music video, but it still seems more accessible than it's ever been.
Yeah, I've always loved doing video stuff.
Is that something that you've tried to work in with previous projects on a regular basis, or is it?
Not as much for some reason. I don't know why. I did my first degree in video, actually, and I've always been drawn to it, and I don't know how I lost that. It's really weird. I guess the green belt just took over, and I detached from it. But I really like that it's back and that we're having fun and we're making stuff. So hopefully we'll have some more videos coming soon.
Mm-hmm. These are less likely to get buried in a garbage dump as well.
Yes.
Right? So, there's that.
Oh, yeah, totally.
That's a field trip to Vancouver waste facility. Yeah? Let's go.
I mean, I will ask him where you put them, where exactly they were thrown out. But I mean,
yeah.
Maybe I'll just draw a picture of where I think they are.
Yeah.
Like eight stories of garbage piled on top of the Greenbelt LPs.
And you know what? A song about retrieving the lost EPs might be just LPs might be just as good as actually recovering them.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah, that's true.
It's another experience to write your way out of, I guess.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm thinking about that Greenbelt song about Garbage Island.
No.
A heart the size of Texas now. Just like some. But yeah.
It's the home of all the Greenbelt LPs.
That was one of the last songs, and that's where they ended up.
Wow.
Wow. So, wow, the poet, it's prophetic almost.
It's just
right?
Like kind of infinity circle.
Yeah.
You know, it's really funny because that first song we played, Don't Be Yourself, is about somebody who I haven't talked to in a decade. And there's no beef or anything. Like, we just fizzled out and it got sour and we've moved on. But the other day, that person started following me on Facebook and then bought the album.
Wow.
And I was like, holy infinity loop.
Mm-hmm.
Things just come back.
Like
continuously.
Of anxiety. Just like, oh, do they know that song is about this?
No, but I just thought it was like so quirky of them to get my attention
and then
purchase it.
Yeah. Be like, just so you know, I'm buying it. I'm going to look at it first. Yeah.
Anyway.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, we're sort of talking about things coming back around and the maybe like themes running through your work. One of the big themes I've always sort of identified with and picked out in a lot of the various bands, recordings and stuff you've put out, is like a real focus on labor and a real focus on like, the power of the worker, but also like how people should be treated. How do you come to that? Is that just, is that like family values? Is that like life experience? Like where does that come from in you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's family values, but I feel like working in coffee shops, wanting to tour, working two jobs at a time, like you just get a very good transparent glimpse at the reality of like what you are in those scenarios and how you're valued. And
yeah,
I don't know. We tried to organize JJ Bean back in like 2010 or 11. And it was just so amazing to me, like, how blatantly evil the owners of that company are. I mean, it's just like, wow, you know? But anyway, yeah, so.
If people don't have to deal with a unified workforce, they are going to do everything they can to prevent that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
But they had an opportunity to, I thought they had an opportunity to do something cool instead of expanding to, like, 400 stores. They could have, I don't know, they just
it's just such a
sad,
it's like a layup PR win too, you know? Like, I don't know. Yeah. But what do I know? I'm not rich. I don't own businesses.
The funny thing is, one of the main culprits of why we wanted to organize J.J. Bean ended up getting called out at Matchstick, and they organized.
Oh, no way!
So if you do want to get coffee at an organized coffee shop, you can go to Matchstick. There's a whole campaign. It was pretty intense, but I thought it's just so interesting. It's the same stories, different people, but the same like power over. So
yeah. Well, I think like it's easy to see how that becomes like it doesn't take working very long to see how unfair it can be and how the systems are set up to benefit the capital holders and the owners instead of the workers themselves.
Yeah, they really were. I think labor laws have changed a lot since then even.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have social media, which makes it a lot easier to, like, the whole campaign for Matchstick was on Instagram. So it was like everyone could read like what was happening.
Totally. Yeah. I used to work at Matchstick, and so did my partner who was, came forward in that campaign.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So yeah. Yeah, coffee shops will, well, and any business will exploit workers as much as it possibly can to make money. That's kind of the way the system's set up, I guess. Boo.
Boo.
Shame.
Anyway, off of that labor tangent, should we play some more money? Or some more music? Should we play some more money?
Yeah, we're kind of doing the opposite of making money right now. That's really nice.
Let's get these people paid, huh?
Okay, let's see here. How about we play... Should we do an underpass song?
Sure.
Let's do it. Let's do that.
Which one do we have here?
Calm Down, Do You Fall?
Yeah, let's do that one. Off of Red Reflection, yeah. They're down in California right now. We miss them. Hopefully they can come back soon.
All right, here we go. How Do You Fall from Red Reflection by Underpass on the Vancouver Mixtape on CJSF 90.1 FM.